Cal said, "How are we going to get all the way across town to the shop?"
"Attention!"
A loudspeaker on the tank called out into the dark.
"All Idaho military, militia, and law enforcement personnel must surrender to federal authorities immediately. All Idaho civilians must disarm, remain in their homes, and await instructions from federal authorities. Failure to comply will be met with deadly force."
"We'll wait until they pass," said Sweeney. "Then cross the street and cut between the Blake and Reese houses. There's a fence, but when Mary Beth invited me over, all I had to do was reach over the gate and pop a latch."
"No way," said Cal. "I was hanging out with Tucker Blake once, and he had a big thing for Mary Beth. Must have been after the two of you broke up."
Sweeney shrugged. "We were never really going out."
"Yeah, well, me and Tucker were going to see Mary Beth one night, and when we cut through the yard, the motion sensor light turned on. If that happens with those soldiers around, we'll..."
"Cal," I said, "the power's out. The only lights will be on the Fed tanks."
"Oh, yeah," Cal said.
The tank was out of sight by now and moving farther off. A few gunshots went off down the street. Seconds later, a bunch of rifles and machine guns cut loose. Then it was quiet. Whoever had taken a shot at that squad had paid for it the hard way.
"Okay," I whispered with a shaky breath. "Weapons ready. Do not shoot unless they do. We don't want to give away our position."
"And we really don't have a chance fighting these guys," Sweeney said.
"That too," I said. "Ready?"
My friends nodded and picked up our stuff. I came out from between the two cords and crouched ran through the Huff's yard. The street looked clear, but in basic training, we'd learned about crossing linear danger areas, long straight pathways or streets that made handy places for the enemy to set up a machine gun. Anyone who tried to cross one could get mowed down. I ducked down beside the Huff's front porch and motioned for the others to do the same. Cal crouched right beside me, so I whispered to him, "I'm going to run across the street first. If I make it, I'll set up on the other side to cover you crossing. We go one at a time, so we're not all clustered together in one target." Cal nodded and I sprinted across the street, looking both ways, but mostly keeping an eye out for that tank and squad. When I dove under the bushes in front of Mary Beth's house, I aimed my M4 down the street and motioned for Cal to follow. In that way, one at a time, we crossed the street. Then we rushed around the house, popped the latch on the gate, and ran through the Reese family's backyard. That's how it went all across town. We spotted two more patrols, each with two armored gun Hummers and a dismounted squad. They'd sent at least one platoon, maybe two, to conquer Freedom Lake. We paused again in Mr. Shiratori's backyard. His daughter had a little playhouse there, and the three of us managed to creep inside to catch our breath.
"You guys okay?"
someone whispered from the playhouse door.
We all freaked and aimed our weapons.
"Take it easy. It's Coach Shiratori."
"Jeez, Coach,"
Cal pointed his rifle downward.
"You about got yourself killed."
"What are you doing out here?" Sweeney asked. Mr. Shiratori frowned.
"I should ask you the same question. The army is everywhere."
"We're in trouble," I said. "We're going someplace to hide." He crawled the rest of the way into the cramped playhouse. Everybody shuffled to give him room.
"Where?"
Me and my friends looked at each other for a second.
"We can't tell you," said Sweeney. "We have to keep it a secret."
"Makes sense," Coach said.
"But listen, Coach," Sweeney went on. "Can you do us a favor?"
I frowned. What was he talking about?
"I need you to talk to Travis Jones. Tell him to tell Dave Schmidt that I said he's a guy Schmidt can trust."
"What?" I shifted where I sat.
"Come on, we don't need to get TJ wrapped up in this." "I know you two have had your problems," Sweeney said to me. "Everybody else knows it too. That's why nobody will suspect him. And we're going to need someone to be our eyes and ears outside, unless you want to risk the girls' lives."
I couldn't think of a good comeback. Sweeney said to Coach Shiratori,
"So when it seems safe, talk to TJ about Dave Schmidt."
"I think safe is going to be a relative term for quite some time," said Shiratori. "But I'll pass along the message."
Cal picked up his AR-15.
I'd say we've rested enough. Unless we're staying in this playhouse forever, we'd better move.
Yeah, it'll be light soon, I said. From here on out, it'll be pretty much a fast sprint to the safe house.
I'm faster than you, said Sweeney. I can handle it.
I started moving toward the door.
Then let's go. If anyone asks, Coach, you didn't see us. You've been inside all night.
Shiratori nodded.
And one more thing. Joe Bell, will you please look out for her? Help her if you can.
I'll do my best. You boys be careful.
We grabbed our gear and left the playhouse. When we were all ready, we took off, our thermal cloaks flying out behind us like capes as we ran. It was only a couple blocks, but it felt like the longest run of our lives. When we finally reached the shop, I checked the street to make sure nobody was watching. Luckily, the shop was kind of at the edge of town, across the street from some giant steel grain bins. There were no houses around, nobody to spot us. I could hardly see in the darkened shop, but I knew the place so well that it didn't matter. I opened the back closet door and knocked on the floor hatch. It lifted a crack.
Right?
Sergeant Kemp asked.
Yeah, we're back, said Cal. Barely. Let us in.
Cal went below, but Sweeney stopped at the hatch.
You coming?
He said to me.
I'll be right there.
I stood in the empty shop where I used to park the beast and looked out through the little round window in the garage door. The sun was just coming up, and in the distance I heard the rumble of a tank. A Chinook helicopter descended somewhere over near the high school, probably coming in for a landing on the football field, possibly carrying another whole infantry platoon. Freedom Lake, my hometown, was now under federal military occupation. Sweeney put his hand on my shoulder.
Come on, he said. It's over, for now.
I sighed and went with my best friend into the basement, wondering when I'd next see the sun.